First week back to school? No? Some of you are smiling, some of you are not smiling. So I take it, what's that? What we're going to do is, did you guys enjoy? That was a nice song that they sang over there. They started a new song this week. That was awesome. What we're going to do is we're going to pray, and then we need to introduce everybody. Does everyone know everybody? Kind of, sort of? And then an activity, we're going to meet today. You know, we're planning the month ahead. So today, after service, we're going to meet and plan our month. So the White Mountain Bible, Charles asked if we would maybe want to do another event. They had a blast with, doing the event. So I talked to him about doing a movie night over here, having popcorn and just getting together like on a Friday night. Does Friday night work for most people? To do like a movie night and have their youth over here, and Friday worked for you guys, for everyone pretty much. Because I know we got sports and everything, but so we'll probably do something like start at like 7 or something in the evening, and we'll get like some pizzas and do popcorn and have some games. So unless you guys have maybe something else you'd like to do. Band, we got to do band practice. You guys worship team and stuff, that's going to happen too. So if you guys have anything, Let us know, but that's something that we wanted to kind of put together. And then do you guys have any other activities that you'd like to do this month? The Dizzy Battle? Would you guys like to maybe do a Dizzy Battle? You guys like the bubble soccer, huh? I know it was pretty fun. Dizzy, you didn't get to make it. I didn't see you there.
Dizzy bubble soccer, yeah.
No, we don't want anyone getting sick. But so the bubble soccer was a total blast. We had a great time. I got video, and it's really hilarious because, like, the first one, you guys are out there, and you're like, and you're, like, kicking the ball like this, And then by the time Brent, and Gary and Charles, the pastor, and Caleb got out there, it looked like a Smash Mouth football game on the gridiron. It was so funny. It literally, like, I have it on video. We're going to try to put a little video together. It is so funny. Like, for like 2 minutes, the soccer ball wasn't even out there. They just hit each other. I laugh. Every time I watch a video, it makes me crack up. So it was a lot of fun. It was great to fellowship with other youth. And these are youth at other churches that we want to do some events with, because these are kids that you go to school with, right? These are kids that maybe you'll be on a little league team with, or a swim team, or a soccer team, or any other sport in the community. So it's really good to know who other, you know, Christians and believers are out there, right? So we want to keep doing that. We had a blast. So let's pray, and then we'll welcome everyone real quick. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so grateful for this day. We are so grateful for your word and what you have planned for us. And we just come before you, Lord, this morning and just ask for your protection and just ask that you speak to our hearts today, that you challenge us with your word and you allow us to take your word and to put in our hearts, so as we go out into life, that we become the beacon of light in this lost world. We're so thankful for you, Lord, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's stand up and greet one another. And as I was going through the study, I really realized, like, man, this is kind of related to us in today's world. It's kind of a chapter 11 and chapter 12. You're going to see it begins kind of with an incident here that leads to a teaching that Jesus is going to have a teaching on. And it's really crazy because John the Baptist is imprisoned, right? And so for those of you that don't know why, he had spoken out against the king and the queen, or the people that were in charge, and they didn't like it. They were upset at him, and they had him imprisoned. And later on, we're going to see John the Baptist actually getting beheaded. But so in chapter 11 here, there's some dramatic changes going on, right? Before, in the other chapters, it's talking about teaching and Jesus teaching the disciples and a lot of good positive things going on, and him, you know, setting things up for them, you know, to have knowledge and to train people and to teach people. And in this chapter 11 and 12, we're going to see that kind of changing a little bit. And it goes kind of from Jesus, you know, revealing his authority and who he really is, to like him, like now, you know, being like he's getting attacked. And he had this great ministry going, and now all of a sudden they're kind of turning against him because they're the world's evil. We're going to see that. So in chapter 11, we're going to read here 1 through 11. I know you guys went through it last week, but we're just going to kind of go over a few things. And it says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in the cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" So John is kind of, he's having questions, right? And we're going to go over that. It's not a, it's kind of a doubt. It's not like a, he, it's not a interpretation or wavering of his faith. It's just he's got some doubt going on. So Jesus answers and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." In verse 5, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send a messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'" So John is, he's in prison, and he's kind of, he's having some doubts, like, wow, this is weird. They thought Jesus was going to come back and, you know, and reign and rule. And the disciples that John the Baptist sent were John's followers. And John was imprisoned, and John proclaimed the coming of Christ and actually baptized Jesus, right? We learned that earlier. And now he seemed to be going through a trial himself. John's kind of going through a trial. And like the disciples, John probably expected Jesus to take, like, physical control of Israel, right? They thought he was going to come in and take control. So he questions, "Are you the promised one?" Right? He's asking, "Well, wait a minute. I thought things were going to be a little bit different." And even the one crying in the wilderness was discouraged and doubting while he sat in prison. I mean, I know if I was in prison for something, and just speaking the truth, I would be kind of concerned. I'd be like, "Wait a minute. If I'm teaching the word, and we're okay to teach the word, and now you're in prison for it, I would be concerned. I'd probably feel just like John was." So this is difficult, you know, to believe that after he had heard the voice in heaven, right? He baptized Jesus. He got to see things that we haven't got to see. And when he baptized Jesus, so like many of us, it wasn't a wavering of John's faith, right? We go through trials, and it's not a wavering of our faith. It's just us maybe hoping for like an immediate answer, right? So sometimes we're just like, "I need an answer now." We pray, we don't get an answer. So sometimes we're like, "Well, what's going on, God?" And it's not a wavering of our faith. It's just us wanting gratification right now. So as young adults, you guys, even as you get older, we're going to have doubts, right? Right now in this world, we see so many events where as Christians, you can sit back and ask, you know, some even Christians are like, "Man, does God really exist?" You see that all the time, right? Sometimes a big disaster happens, and they're like, "Well, you know, how could God allow this to happen?" So that's something that we contend with. And you look at all the, like, these sick and horrible things. Do you guys read the news much, or you see the news constantly playing a little bit? Like, I don't really watch the news anymore because it just seems like so many things are just so evil and sick. It's really hard to really follow it because you do get discouraged. And, you know, we see right now this question being asked all around, even by believers, right? Because we see Christians getting persecuted, Christians getting killed all over the world, right? You see churches in other countries being torn down, not even allowed to have a cross, right? In some countries like China, they're not allowing free worship like we have. They don't allow it. Families will get arrested. They've been put in prison and even can be killed and executed, even today, in today's time. And we don't see that because we're so free to have our own opinions and our own voice and to do whatever we want. We don't get to see that. But we look at all these things, and you look at kind of what's being taught, right, in public schools. How many of you have to go to public school? So you look at the things that are being taught, right? You look at the things that the universities teach, right? And there's so these ideas and ideologies, they really can challenge your faith. Because you have somebody that's in a position of power in education, and then they're giving you their own political outlook or their own political, you know, agenda for themselves. And so it can become very discouraging. We had a really good friend of ours. He was in the military, and he was going to college. He was injured. And I remember having a talk with him. He says, you know, I know I'm a Christian, and I know the Word of God, and I pray and stuff, but being a Christian in college, in the university, he said it was horrible. He said they challenge you every single day and tell you why you're wrong and tell you there's no God. And he goes, and if I didn't have a strong faith, it would be so easy for me to just turn from it, because they make it so easy for you to say, you know what, maybe you're right, because they just attacked him and over and over again. So I encourage you that just like the great men of the Bible, you might have doubts, right? But we are encouraged in the scriptures, and you're going to find all throughout as we go through Matthew, there's some great encouragement, some great scriptures coming up. We're going to study the book of John, and there's going to be some great Bible verses that you're going to want to start memorizing and start committing to memory, to put in your heart. But like in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he's saying fight the good fight of faith, right? We have, and we're going to go into this a little bit here, on our life and why we're so different, right? Because we're in this world, we're not of this world, and we're going to go through some scriptures about that. So I encourage you, right, to fight the good fight. Lay a hold on eternal life. So as we continue here in chapter 11, we'll see here some really great motivation. This is John, he's in prison. And in right here in chapter 10, it says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And if you look, that comes from Malachi 3:1. Okay, so a lot of the Jewish leaders, a lot of people that understood the Bible, a lot of people that really had taken, you know, their religion as the Jews, they understood Malachi, they understood Isaiah, they understood all these prophecies and all these teachings that were coming out. So here he is, he's kind of like, you know, down, he's kind of like, man, I don't know what's going on, I'm imprisoned. And I say to you, among those born of women gathered has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So that's in chapter 11. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is stating that in heaven, the least, right, the least in heaven had knowledge of Jesus and had an understanding, really, of his coming. So, but could you imagine being just totally wiped out and down, feeling sorry for yourself and your situation? Have you guys ever felt like that? Kind of sorry for yourself, kind of down on yourself? I know I do. When I fail at things, I get really down on myself. But you have this word of encouragement. Jesus is saying, hey, behold, I send my messenger. So he's letting the people know that this is John the Baptist. He is the messenger to come before me. So that's pretty encouraging. And then, you know, what about when things aren't going right for you? Do you guys ever have a situation where maybe things aren't going right? Maybe you're just kind of discouraged, and then maybe this song comes on the radio, and you're like, oh, man, that's exactly what I needed right now. What about like maybe a teacher or a coach or somebody of influence that gives you a word of encouragement? Has that ever happened to you guys? Where you're like, man, that is exactly what I needed. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Or a Bible verse someone shares with you. Or you're scrolling through something and you're like, man, that's exactly what I needed. God spoke to my heart. Has that ever happened to any of you? Anyone want to share with that? What do you got, Brendan?
Like,
That's awesome. So he had a place in his life. He goes to camp. He was only able to go one day, right? So I know he was a little discouraged because he didn't get to go the whole week because he had to work. You know, so we kind of know Brennan's situation. And then he goes to church that one day and, you know, God speaks to him, right? Now he has this encouragement. That's exactly kind of what's going on here. So you see we have in verse 10, really it's referring to old scripture. That would be something that John would understand right away. So as we read, we'll go through here. We'll read 16. We're going to go through a couple more here. We're going to kind of cut our time a little short because we got to do Communion Sunday also. So as we read 16, we see a generation here that really is tormenting John and Jesus. They're just nasty people. It says in 16, but to what shall I liken this generation? Is it like children sitting on the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we play the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. So this reminds me of kids on the playground, like just reading this, and they're out there criticizing, right? And they're singing, you know, those songs that kids sing about you being a jerk or making up rhymes. And what are those called? Like, they have a technical term for those, but the, you know, just kids out there being mean and nasty.
Limericks.
Limericks, right? Stuff like that, making rhymes about you, trying to make you feel bad. That's what, when I read this, it's like, man, that's exactly what I see. Kids out there on the playground antagonizing you, right? Antagonizing John and Jesus. For 18 here, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. So we see here they're just kind of teasing them and egging them on. They complained and criticized John and Jesus, right? They're complaining and they're criticizing. And the reason why they're upset is because Jesus was healing the sick. He was healing lepers. He was spending time with tax collectors. And the leaders of that day, they didn't like that. They were they saw that as, oh, that's evil, that's not right. And the lepers were banned. They weren't allowed to go into the place of worship. They were banned from certain parts of the city. They were some in some areas, they were cast out. Like we got an opportunity to live in Hawaii. And there's an island there, Molokai, right? And that was an island where people, when they had leprosy, they would put them on this island. And then they had a cliff where they would throw people off the cliff to their death. So they were, people with leprosy were banned from the other islands. They were removed and thrown out to this remote island, and they had like supplies brought in and stuff, and that was it. They weren't really cared for. So Jesus was caring for these people, right? He's healing them, and he's being kind to them and loving them. And the powers to be were upset with that. So what did they do? They were attacking him. And this is where his ministry starts changing, where people are like, oh, he's not the Christ, and they start really attacking him. So this evil and hatred, it kind of reminds me of today, right? You're trying to do good. You see a lot of people trying to do good out there. You see a lot of people trying to make an impact. And then there's that one person that doesn't like what you're doing or maybe doesn't like how you're doing it. And then they start spewing all kinds of evil against you, right? You see it all the time. And you see it on social media, people attacking, and like the Twitter accounts and stuff, they just start attacking. You know, people, because they want to try to win you to their way of thinking, even though their way of thinking might be wrong, they don't agree with you, so they attack you, and they belittle you, and they try to shrink you down. So they kind of, you know, because of people's pride, you know, they try to win you to their way of thinking, even if it's wrong. And that's kind of what this reminds me of. You know, they didn't have social media back then, right? But in a community where you have leaders that kind of run everything, if one of them doesn't agree with you and they have a little meeting and then now all of them aren't going to agree to you, and then they're going to go out and they're just going to start bad-mouthing you because they're people of influence, right? So that's kind of what was going on here. So we're going to read here in Mark 2:17 and Luke 5:31. Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So through their ignorance, their hatred, their disbelief, they didn't know how to handle Jesus at this time. So they just started to speak hate towards him. And some of you might have experienced this, right? Some of you here today. I know I did. I experienced it in high school. High school sometimes can be a horrible, evil place, right? And if you let it get to you and you let these things attack you and stuff, and it can, you know, you see some kids that act out and bad things have been happening. But, you know, he's saying, I didn't come, you know, for the healthy. I came for the sick. And that's what he was doing. And people hated him for that. And, you know, if you're facing these things today, or maybe you find yourself in a situation where you're being attacked, remember, I'm going to give you some verses here, and I encourage you to write these down. I encourage you to memorize these verses. These are memory verses that you really need to have in your arsenal as you're going out into the world, as you're going out to high school and into the lion's den. Remember verses like John 16:33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Right? In the world you have tribulation. You will have tribulation. He's telling you right here, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. So Jesus has overcome the world. They hated him. And for your sake and for my sake, he still allowed them to crucify him, right? He could have stopped all of it, but he didn't. He had to go through this so we could have eternal salvation. But what's crazy, he says, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. He overcame the world for us through his death, through his resurrection, right? He has overcome death for us and the world. And so that's John 16:33. And then John 15:18-19, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Right? Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So remember, you will be hated, right? We are going to be hated. We're Christians. We're different. The world is going to hate us. And he tells us right here, the world, right? You are not of it. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, right? And we're seeing this in his ministry right here in chapter 11. They're starting to turn on. They're starting to spew evil against him. They're starting to mock him and John and things like that. But as we go through the Bible and as we really start digging in here in the youth ministry, we're going to start getting words of encouragement. So even though these things are happening and sometimes like I look at it and I was like, man, I don't know how Jesus could let that happen. You know, why couldn't he just call these angels down and smite these people and wipe them out, you know, and start all over? But I'm just as bad as they are, right? Because I'm a sinner just like they are. And so it's his place to judge. It's his place to do this. It was his place to die on the cross for us. So remember that if you feel hated, it's going to happen. The Bible says you're going to be hated, but be of good cheer, right? Because Jesus has overcome the world. So I would try to memorize these verses. I would look at these verses, and as you're going through your high school days here, some of you in junior high school, you know, remember these. Keep these verses maybe in your notepad. Keep them on your, I know a lot of you guys have smartphones. Maybe save them, save verses like this as your screensaver, as like one of your apps when you pull it up. So you have these things so that as you're going through the day, you can pull these things up. So we'll go through right here. We're going to read 28 here. We're going to read 28 through 30. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the analogy, right, of a heavy burden on our back, what do you guys picture that? When you see a heavy burden, what comes to mind when you hear that? Bricks, bags of bricks, right? Something, a burden, something heavy, maybe sin, maybe something you're dealing with. What else? Anyone got anything else? But that's kind of what I picture. I picture like a heavy burden. I think of like an oxen, right? One of those oxens that used to have to wear those big, huge tools that they would wrap around their neck, and then they would pull it, and it looked so heavy, and they'd have all these ropes and stuff attached, and they'd be plowing fields, right? It's like that would be burdensome to me. So the analogy of a heavy burden is on our back is a good description of what life is like apart from Christ, right? If we are living in sin, if we're not walking with the Lord as Christians, and we try to do things on our own, it can feel like the weight of the world is upon our shoulders, right? It can feel like we are carrying bags of bricks. So the scripture has been titled right here on this 28. I've seen it before, and it said, the great invitation to rest in Jesus Christ. So when I was reading a commentary one day, I was like, oh, man, I really like that. That's really cool. This scripture here, like 28 through 30, you know, the title, Great Invitation to Rest in Christ. So we're going to play a short video. We've played it before. Some of you guys have seen it. Some of you might have not seen it. But I just want to give you an understanding of what kind of rest you're going to have, right? By putting your faith in Jesus. By proclaiming that Jesus is Christ and that he died and was raised from the dead, there's power in that. Your salvation that you have is in Christ Jesus. And really knowing who he is, and when we have battles we're going to go through, knowing who's on our side, it's going to really help you get through those battles. Your salvation in Christ is real. And with this quick video, it should inspire you and encourage you to stay strong in your faith and to press on. Because it says, for Jesus is gentle, right? And you will find rest. So we'll just watch this quick little video, and then we'll do our communion, all right? Get to, right, kind of the Last Supper. And our communion today, I just want you guys to have understanding, you know, why we take communion for one, but who we serve, right? That's a great video showing who Jesus is and what our relationship with him can be like. So in 26 here, verse 20, now when the evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, surely I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Then he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man goes as is written of him, but woe to the man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. So you're going to pass those out? So as they were eating, right, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat of this for my body, and we'll take it together. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many of the remissions of sin. So we do this, a communion, once a month, right? And we have kind of, pastor explains it as an open communion. You don't have to belong to the church. You don't have to belong, you know, to a Calvary Chapel. It's a communion. It's us showing, you know, Christ that, you know, we're saved. We're believers. Thank you. And it's our opportunity to love him and an opportunity for us to really, you know, be disciplined in our faith. So as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. That was weird. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. So I encourage you guys today that as you're going out there into the world, memorize some of these scriptures that we're going through, right? That's why we're going through the Bible the way we're doing it. That's why on Sundays we're teaching just kind of like how you'd be taught if you're over there. And as you get older and you move on from here, we want you to have a good base and a good knowledge so when you do go over to the other, you know, the other side there with the adults and with Pastor Tony that you have a good foundation. So I hope you guys are encouraged, and I hope you continue to read your word outside of here. You know, we're going to start chapter 12 in Matthew. So I'd encourage you, if you have time, which I know you have time because we all have time, but I would encourage you to read chapter 12 this week, right? And stay ahead of what we're teaching. Read through it, and then that way if you have any questions, bring those questions here, right? Because I still have a lot of questions. I meet with Pastor Tony every other Thursday, and I have other friends and pastors that I talk to because, you know, I have lots of questions. This is something that you're going to continue to go through your whole life, right? We're little kids, little babies now growing up, and as we get more mature and learning, then hopefully you guys will be able to answer the questions of people that are, you know, getting in the faith. So would someone like to pray for us to get us out of here? Anybody? guys are exciting, exciting crowd. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for you and what you've given us. Communion Sunday, Lord, just to reflect on the sacrifice that you made for each one of us, Lord. We are so grateful. And we pray that you'll touch our hearts and our souls. And you'll be with us as we go out into the world. And I pray, Father, today for protection on all the young kids that are here, on everyone here today, Lord, as they go out, that you'll protect them and you will guide them. You'll just love them, Lord, and just help them be the beacon of light in this lost world. Help them to take what we're learning here and to apply it in their life daily, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.